waves abound. I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I'll praise you whether happy or sad. I'll praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do. And I owe it all to you. Praise is what I do. It's what I do.
For you, like nobody's watching, nobody's watching. Gonna dance for you, my Lord. I'm gonna sing for you, like nobody's listening, nobody's listening. Gonna sing for you, my Lord.
I'm gonna dance for you, like nobody's watching, nobody's watching. Gonna dance for you, my Lord. I'm gonna sing you, like nobody's listening, nobody's listening. Gonna sing for you, my Lord. I'm not holding anything back. I will worship you with all that I to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. Gonna worship you, my Lord. I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters, nothing else matters. Gonna worship you, my Lord. shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out your name, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. To shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. To shout out today, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Nothing else matters. Gonna worship you, my
takes your shame away, it's easy to worship.
All right.
I lived ashamed for a lot of years. I had no worship. I was ashamed of myself. I was ashamed of the life I was living. I was ashamed of the things I had done. But God can remove all that from a person's life. You know what? And that's what drives me to teach a Bible study. This is a little commercial. I didn't plan on this, but when God removes the shame out of someone's life, And you see a transformation in their soul, in their spirit, in their attitude, and what they think about and what they want to talk about. It makes it worth it to me to teach a Bible study or to teach a Sunday school class or to usher or to sing a song or to praise or to play the drums or play a musician or be any part of God's kingdom. When you see the shame is removed, that's what it's all about. Removing. So you're not ashamed anymore. Thank God that he can do that tonight.
Amen.
Ushers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, praise the Lord.
Brother Tom.
Hallelujah. song says it's an overflow of a forgiven soul. What would it be like if I or you were standing in a courtroom? We were guilty, we knew it. Our conscience bared witness with our heart that we were guilty. The judge was a righteous judge. Look down at us, commanded that the right punishment be given. What we had done was worthy of death. The judge said, I condemn you to die. Then all of a sudden, someone stepped up and said, Judge, I'll take their place. I'll pay the price for their wrong. Even though I did no wrong, I will take their wrong upon me. Let them go free and condemn me to die. If that happened, in a natural sense, I doubt very seriously any of us would stand there unmoved. Doubt very seriously we just stand there all pious, hands folded. I dare say there'd be some overflow. There'd be some pouring out that happened as a result that someone was willing to take my place. I'm guilty and I know I'm guilty and I'm worthy of death, but I have an advocate with the Father. God judges righteously, but there's one, a propitiation for our sin. And you and I, we're condemned to eternal death, but for Jesus. And so I come into his house and I lift my hands in praise. It's the overflow of a forgiven soul. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I'm so appreciative. I can't just sit idly by and let things happen. I've got to show my appreciation. I've got to demonstrate my affection for what you've done for me. It's an overflow of a forgiven soul. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what love. Oh, what love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. I thank you, Jesus, that you took my place and you took my transgressions and you nailed them to a tree. I'm so thankful. Let my life be lived in a show of appreciation for what you've done for me. A debt I could never pay. Death I was worthy of, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank you, Jesus. There should be an overflow in this place right now. There should be some gratitude going up into the heavens. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well,
has done or ever will do what Jesus has done for you. I make no apology. I'm just a little bit overwhelmed with emotion when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Good. Old song says it feels so good just being here again. It feels so good feeling what I feel. And there's just nothing I like better than God's children getting together. It feels so good. just being here again. God bless you for standing. You may be seated if you'd like. I do want to say thank you to all of those that had a hand in helping. I know there were many that helped with decorating and preparations, but and I know that she probably doesn't want me to do this, but I'm going to do this anyhow. I found out as I was eating the delicious food that was prepared that it was prepared, it by all of it, was prepared by Sister Connie. A lot of the decorating, a lot of... Thank you, Sister Connie. Don't know what it does to the heart of a pastor to see someone with a servant's heart. Someone who doesn't do it for recognition. Someone who, out of a love for the things of God and the people of God, who sacrificially gives. Thank you, Sister Connie. Bible says, give honor where honor is due. I applaud you. She deserves a standing ovation. Thank you, Sister Keller. And not only did she cook and prepare and put all that together, but she was one of the few. Now I'm going to play pastor here for a few moments. She was one of the few that stayed around to help put everything back. I better be careful here, but there was only two men out of this church that stayed and put up chairs and tables, and that was myself and Brother Tom. Fellas, that ought not to be. As proud as I am when I see a servant's heart, when I see someone who's willing to give sacrificially, my frustration begins to boil when I know that there are able hands that can help and don't do so. That's all I'm going to say on that. I love you. I still pray for you. But sometimes I shake my head. This is a team effort. This is a group effort. Things happen because we all put our hands in the mix and make it happen. I know the general rule of thumb. Trust me. If anything pastors know is true, it's this. That about 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I get that. I'm a realist. I understand that. But that don't mean it's right. I knew it was going to get tight in here. I knew. But I love you enough to stand in front of you and tell you it needs to be different. I preach it. I do my level best to inspire and motivate. But there's some times when, as pastor, I need to walk to the pulpit and say, this happened and it shouldn't happen. And it needs to be different. Still love me? Well, good. Stand. You have your Bibles and you would turn in them to Psalm chapter 71. One of the things I like about the book of Psalms is, to me, it shows such a humanity. Often in this life, as we deal with struggles and things that combat us in our walk and relationship with God, we can find ourselves, if you will, in some of these scriptures. So there's many times when I read a song where I say, Yeah, I can relate. I can see the significance in that, and I can see it in my own life. But while it was, the book of Psalms is replete with lots of wonderings, if you will, in the sense of God and His help and His timing. There's also another theme that runs throughout the book of Psalms, and that is one of praise. And I have learned, I am learning, I'm endeavoring in my heart and in my life to, whether it's good or it's bad, Lord, I vow to praise You. It's the song we sang earlier. Though my circumstance can't even stand a chance. Why? Because my praise outweighs the bad. Psalm chapter number 71, begin reading in verse number 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man, for Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. Oh, my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are my adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, that that seek my life. But I pay particular attention here. But here's what I will do. Oh, God, oh, my God, make haste to help me. But even if it doesn't come in the time that I think it should come, even though the enemy still mock and ridicule and say, persecute him and take him, for his God will not deliver, I still believe You will deliver. And I will hope continually. And I will yet praise Thee more and more. Help the Lord, I want to preach shortly upon this subject, to praise more and more. To praise more and more. Praise is so powerful. Praise is so powerful when we understand. The Bible says, He that offereth praise glorifieth me. In the midst of my situation and my circumstance, I will not give glory to my trial or my tribulation. I know He deserves the glory. So I will offer a praise and it will glorify Him. Even in the midst of my circumstance, even in the midst of my circumstance, guess what? You're going to see me lifting my hands. You're going to hear me lift my voice. Even in the midst of my trial and my struggle, guess what? I will continually hope in my God. And I will praise Him more and more. Devil, you thought when you turned up the heat that I'd turn down the praise, but you need to understand, I got a different look about how things should happen. And the more you persecute me, and the more the enemies encamp around about me, the more I praise. I praise more and more. I'm going to frustrate you, devil. You're going to get tired of coming against me, because I'm just going to keep praising. I'm just going to keep lifting my voice. I'm just going to keep glorifying God. I want to testimony it is when in the midst of my trial and in the midst of my circumstance, I can say they don't even stand a chance, because I've learned my praise will outweigh the bad. And so I will continually hope in my God. I will praise more and more. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. I thank you for your awesome presence that I feel in this place tonight, God. Let the saints, God, as one, God, let us lift you up and magnify you. Let us praise you from the depths of our hearts, believing and trusting in you. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. The psalmist begins the psalm, verse number 1 of chapter 71. He says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." I've stated this many times. I believe Brother Al alluded to it in some preliminary comments. We understand the world in which we live is a world of confusion. It is a culture that is constantly taking things that should be absolutes and changing them into maybes. We live in a world that is put into confusion. There was a discussion the other day on a forum that I'm involved with on Facebook, and it was a very a real question about dealing with some situations and circumstances in our day and the confusion that many people bring to the table. And how do we address some of this confusion when they come from the world and they want to be counseled? How do we address these situations? How do we look at these circumstances that really before we didn't have to have as a challenge very much? How do we counsel these people? And I simply say that I always begin with the premise that God is not the author of confusion. And so any confusion that someone has, whether it's psychologically, whether it's morally, whether it's even anatomically or genetically or whatever the confusion is, first and foremost, they need to understand that God is not the author of confusion. That if we look to Him and we put our trust in Him, we can understand that God is the one who will answer the question, and light will come in the ways of righteousness. We will understand better by and by. Now, that doesn't mean just in heaven. It means as we search the riches of God, as we look into His Word, as even in the midst of our culture of confusion, people learn that though I don't understand everything and I'm still learning and I'm still growing, there is one thing that I can understand. The more that I praise Him, the more that I align my life with His Word, the better off I'm going to be, and the less confused I'm going to be. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Deliverance comes as we search the ways of righteousness. It causes us to escape, the Bible says. God has made a way of escape, a way out of the confusion, a way out of this world and its way. Verse 3, he says, "Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort." If ever we need to understand, it is in this day and in this hour that our strength comes from the Lord, and we have to learn how to continually resort to the Lord. How to continually find ourselves, for thou art my rock and my fortress. You are the one. You are the one I go to for the answers of life's questions. You are the one I go to when I'm confused and I don't understand. You are the one in which I hide myself to find what it is you want me to find. And you deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man, for thou art my hope. Thou art my trust from my youth. One of the things that I pray with my children many times, I pray with my son tonight in prayers, Lord, let him learn to trust you. Lord, let him learn to trust you. When he comes to questions, and he will, and when he comes to circumstances he doesn't understand, Lord, let him learn to trust you, that your way is always the right way. Let him learn to trust you. The psalmist says, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I know we live in a world that, let's just be honest, they see no significance, really, in what they term as the unborn fetus. It's so sad that they would take something so precious as life. Something, I posted this not too long, and they have done a study and research that at the moment of conception, a bright light happens. At the moment where the egg or the sperm enters the egg, and at that moment they have been able to discover that there is a bright light. It happens at that very moment. And I think to myself, how in the world can they even argue with something that they have been able? Romans tells us that by nature we can understand spiritual things, by natural things, that we understand even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. And at that moment, I praise God that at that moment, I praise God that I was raised in a God-fearing home, that my parents taught me to trust in him. But I also praise God that when I was conceived in my mother's womb, there was no question in her mind as to whether she was going to have this baby. I'm thankful, and you should be thankful here this evening, no matter what the circumstances were in which you came into this world. You should be thankful that you came forth from your mother's womb, and from the moment you were conceived therein, the Lord was watching over you. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and let me honor ye all the day. Cast me not in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. There are sometimes when the Lord allows us to realize our own weakness. There are sometimes when we come to a situation that we are not strong enough to bear, where the journey is too great for us, and we do not have what it takes in and of ourselves to persevere and make it through. However, it is many times when we find ourselves in the valley, it is then that we look to the mountain, the holy mountain of God, and say, Lord, I need your strength, because my strength faileth thee. And I can understand that his strength comes when I lift my voice and I begin to praise him. I will lift mine eyes unto the help, hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And even when my strength fails, I can look to him. For mine enemies speak against me, and they lay wait for my soul, and take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. And then I love verse 12. Oh God, be not far from me. You see, there are times, let's just be real honest and candid, there are times that even as we walk this walk in relationship with God, there are times when we feel, even though we know he's a very present help in time of trouble, even though if we feel after him, we'll find that he's not very far from any one of us, even though we know the scriptures, there are sometimes, let's just face it, when we pray and we don't feel his presence. There are some times in our walk in relationship with God where He's silent and He doesn't speak and we don't truly understand. And we're in that period of waiting and not really getting an answer and not really finding a solution to the problem, where we've just got to walk by faith and we just got to trust Him and we just got to believe that He's going to make it happen. And oh God, be not far from me. Let me know that you're here. Oh my God, you are my help. You are my strength. Look at what He says. Make haste for my help. Oh Lord, come quickly. Oh Lord, please, I need help. I need your strength. Saying God, oh God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded. Lord, confound and consume they that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my heart. Lord, turn the tables. Lord, turn the tables. Let them, while they try to reproach me, and while they try to say that you have forsaken me, and that you are not here to deliver me, I pray, Lord, that you cover them with reproach, and you dishonor them that seek my heart. Guess what? Even while I'm crying out and even while I'm saying, oh God, make haste to help. Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help. If it doesn't happen in the time frame that I think it should happen, if it doesn't happen when the moment that I think it should come to pass, Lord, I love this, I will hope continually. There are some times when all I have to hold on is hope. There are some times when I can't see it. I don't understand how it's going to happen. I know, I believe that at some point in time it's going to happen. And I just got to keep hoping. I just got to keep praying. I just got to keep holding on continually, knowing that at some point in time He's going to show up and He's going to show out and I'm going to be delivered. But until that point comes, I will hope continually. But not only will I hope continually, He says, I will praise yet and will yet praise Thee more, more. Because here's what happens oftentimes. We're in the midst of trouble. We're in the midst of situation and a circumstance. And it's not happening in the time frame. And we've cried out, oh my God, make haste to help me. Oh my God, deliver me. Oh my God, turn the tables and put reproach upon them and cover them. Dishonor them that seek my heart. Oh Lord God. But it doesn't happen. God doesn't work it out in the time frame that we think it should happen. And this is what often happens in our walk. All of a sudden our praise is kind of predicated upon the progress that we see. Our praise is kind of predicated on the fact that we don't really see the answer yet. And so I please understand where I'm coming from. We may come to church and we may lift our hands and we may go through the motions, and I'm not demeaning that steadfastness and the faithfulness which we should serve God and which we should praise Him. But here's a premise here in this psalm. That even in the midst of this waiting and even in the midst of this hoping continually, Lord, I'm not going to allow my praise to decrease. I'm not going to allow my praise to subside because the situation doesn't seem to be settling. Lord, I'm not going to allow my praise to just kind of lull a little bit because it seems like that coincides with what's going on. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to learn to praise more and more. I'm going to elevate my level of praise. I'm going to lift my voice even louder. I'm going to wave my hands even more. I'm going to praise more and more. Here's the power of praise. The understanding that praise is not predicated upon my circumstance. Praise is not predicated upon the process that I see or do not see. Praise is not predicated on what people and how they view it and how they see it and whether they support me or they don't support me. Praise is predicated upon one thing, and it is that God is worthy of praise. It's not predicated upon where I'm at or what I'm going through or even what I'm doing. Praise is only predicated upon the fact that he's worthy of praise. And the only prerequisite for praise that I find in Scripture is simply the ability to breathe. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You want to learn how to frustrate the enemy when he comes in like a flood? Know that the Spirit will raise up a standard against him, and you praise more and more. Well, preacher, I'm really going through it, and I'm really dealing with it. Well, then you should really, really praise, and you should really, really let it out. You should really, really lift your voice and wave your hands and say, hey! See, many times the reason why I'm going through the struggle and I'm dealing with the situation, either one of two things. It's either the enemy. The enemy has noticed that I am putting his kingdom in jeopardy. That I am going to do damage to his dominion. And so, as the Apostle Paul says, there was a door open unto me, but there were many adversaries. There was a new dimension that was available to me. God was bringing me into a new power and a new level, but there were many adversaries. They understood. So, it's either that the enemy sees, or in the case of Job, God points it out. Has thou considered my servant Job? You've gone to and fro. You've been looking for someone. Let me give you a suggestion. Have you let's just be honest. We all want recognition, but when God gives recognition, when God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job, you better be careful what recognition you want. I would that we would understand in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the circumstance, maybe it's that the enemy notices that I'm about to do damage in his dominion, or maybe, just maybe, it is God looking down from the heavens and saying, have you considered my servant? He's one that's not going to buckle under the pressure. He's not one that's going to give in to the enemy around about him. He's going to hope continually, and he's going to praise more and more. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. What are you saying, Pastor? Just this. It seems like the enemy is waging war against your soul. It's not a time to get on the defensive. Catch it. It's time to step up the offense. It's time to recognize, wait a second, the enemy has come after me. The enemy is warring against my soul. So when the pressure turns up, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and when I'm dealing with the circumstance and I'm going through it, it's not a time. Catch this. Why is it? Let me just, probably had you stand a little bit early, but bear with me. Why is it that often when people start experiencing the pressures of life and they start going through circumstances and situations, why is it that at that point in time it seems like church is an option? Like maybe I will come or maybe I won't. Do we not understand that at that point in time when the pressure's on and you're really dealing with situations and circumstances, whatever those situations are, it's not a time to step back. It's not a time to give in to the enemy and what's going on. It's a time to step up. And so many times, well, I need to be less involved. No, I need to be more involved. I will praise more and more. I will hope and I will praise more and more. It's not a time to step back. It's not a time to just say, well, I just need. No, it's a time to press forward. It's a time to praise more and more. It's a time to lift my hands higher and make my voice louder and make my presence known the more. It's time. It's more and more. I will praise more and more. So this is what I challenge us to do as the enemy seeks to destroy, as the Bible says he does. Will we not learn to just praise more and more? How frustrating it must be when he brings circumstance and situation and I don't cave and I don't give in and I don't decide to sit back and settle in, but I just begin to praise more and more. Devil, you're going to learn the more you come against me and the more you try to turn me aside, the more you're just turning me to Jesus and the more I'm looking full in his wonderful face. You want to keep trying? You want to keep bringing your best stuff? I'm going to keep getting up and bringing it back more and more. I'm just going to praise. I'm just, all my circumstance, it doesn't even stand a chance. Because my praise will outweigh the bad. I will allow the negative increasing in my life to take the positive praise and have it decrease. Oh, no, 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 no. I will praise the more and more. I'm going to take that which I know is positive. It's comely. It glorifies God. And it's going to elevate. I'm bringing it up a notch. I'm going to praise more and more. Here, we have another opportunity tonight. And I'm going to open these altars and we're going to sing and we're going to praise. But I would encourage you this. Take the cap off your praise. I'm going to say that again. Take the cap off your praise. I'm going higher. It's going to be more and more. I will hope continually, but even if it's not coming in the time frame that I think it should be coming, guess what? I'm still going to praise him more and more. You're still going to find me lifting my voice. You're still going to find me lifting my hands. You're still going to find me coming to church. You're still going to find me being faithful in the things I need to be faithful for. And not only will I maintain a minimum, I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going for the maximum. I'm doing more now than I've ever done. And it's going to be more and more. Lord, don't let me play into the enemy's hand. The psalmist did not say, I have all this stuff going on in my life and I'm persecuted and I'm dealing with all these things, so it just makes sense that I would praise less and less. He said, I will praise yet more and more. And will yet praise thee more and more. Even in the midst of my trouble, even in the midst of my circumstance, I'm still going to praise. Because the praise is going to outweigh the bad. I'm elevating my level of praise. And as the enemy turns up the heat and as he calls in reinforcements, he needs to know he's going to need more because I'm going to elevate my praise. And in this spiritual warfare, I'm not sitting idly by. I'm not getting on the defensive. No, I'm stepping up the offense. Are you here tonight and you feel the need to take the cap off your praise and just begin to praise him a little bit more and more? Lord, I want to praise you more than I did this morning. I want to lift my voice a little higher than I did this morning. I want there to be an increase, God. I want to praise you more and more.
Yeah.
Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to praise Him more and more. Lift my voice higher.
We pour out our praise. We pour out our praise with your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only need your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise with your breath in our lungs. So we pour. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. His bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Hallelujah. Oh, why don't you let her praise ring out right now? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We cry out unto you, Jesus. Yet I will praise thee more and more. Find in the Bible that as the people of God praise and worship, when they were praising and worshiping God, they were conquering nations. We're having victory after victory. Does it mean there wasn't opposition? Does it mean that there weren't giants? Does it mean that there weren't things that come against them? No. It just means when they relied and understood how absolutely essential praise and worship is, they thrived, progressed, pressed on. When they stopped praising, when they stopped worshiping God, captivity soon came. The enemy overcame them. Lord, let us understand the power of praise. Even in the midst of my circumstance, I will hope continually. And yet, will I praise thee more and more. One more time, can you lift your hands and praise unto the Lord? Thank you, Jesus.
I will praise the Lord, for no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord.
I'm not gonna let my praise diminish.
I will praise the Lord.
I won't allow my praise way, shape, or form be compared to my problem. I'm going to elevate my praise, yet will I praise Him more and more.
What it has in store, I will praise the Lord.
Oh, it's such a simple song. Can you sing it with us?
I will praise the Lord.
tomorrow brings, what it has in store.
Brother or sister, let's encourage one another for
no
a few moments. Help me, God. Encourage my brother, encourage my sister to praise Him more and more. Don't step back. Don't do less now. Step it up. It's now time to praise Him more and more. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these precious people, God, that we would learn from the precepts in your word, God, to praise you more and more. We love you. We thank you. We honor you, Jesus, who you are and what you do. In your precious name, we pray. All honor, all glory, all praise unto you. In Jesus' name. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. Go praising Him more and more. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.